So we're going to continue to talk about what God has been talking about to the body of Christ about halftime adjustments. Hallelujah. Apostle started sharing it, and then another apostle that we're connected to shared the exact same thing with the exact same title, unbeknownst to us or each other. All across the body, I'm hearing the words like reset. It's halftime. Adjustments. And even unbelievers are picking up on what God is saying. Because sometimes when God speaks a thing, it's released into the atmosphere. Believers hear it and understand it. An unbeliever may pick up on it, but not quite understand what they're picking up on. It's just, and we'll read that in a second. Most of our time is going to be spent in Mark 4. And so if you have your device or your Bible, you can go ahead and go there to Mark 4. But so I was on Instagram the other day, and there's a business coach that I follow, and I followed for years. And one of the things that came up in my feed that she posted was this. It says, don't be so married to the original vision of your business that you don't allow new information and better ideas to flow. And most importantly, give yourself permission to let go of what isn't working. Say halftime adjustment. Now, she's not a believer yet, but she will be, because I declared it over. So, but this is all over. And so these adjustments that God is calling us to make, we have to make sure that we are not so connected to how we think it's supposed to go, or connected to the instruction that got us started, that we don't follow the instruction for continuing to move. We talk all the time here in this house about there's a preceding and a proceeding word. There's what God would tell you as you begin moving, and then there's what God would tell you as you are moving. And so we have to stay flexible and recognize that maybe what we thought was the assignment was not actually the assignment. It was the beginning to get us in position for the assignment. You guys understand what I'm saying? So during this time of halftime adjustments, the Lord spoke some things prophetically to me, and I'm going to say these statements, and then we'll get into some scripture. But during this, I'm going to tell you, this month is a month of alignment. You know, one of the things the Lord told me about the month of June specifically is that he's bringing people and visions back to original intent. Because every month, similar to like what Pastor Deborah shared on Wednesday, I asked the Lord, what are you saying for this month? And I remember talking to someone. I was like, hey, what do you hear the Lord saying for this month? And that person was like, well, God doesn't ever talk to me about what he's doing in the months. And I said, did you ever ask? See, some things are not revealed because we haven't asked the question. Because if God would tell me what he's doing in this month, if he'll tell Pastor Deborah what he's doing in this month, he'll tell you. You just got to ask the question and be careful to hear. So one of the things he told me was that this is a month of alignment and things being brought back into their original intent. And he took me to Genesis. And, you know, on the sixth day, God made mankind. And I'm sitting here thinking, with Jesus, people always think about the number six referring to man and the flesh. And then the Lord said to me, every time we think there's a difference between the flesh and man. And the scripture distinguishes when it talks about the work of the flesh versus when it talks about man. But in our minds, we have to recognize that in Christ, God's view of man, the believer, is different than viewing man in his fallen, in the fallen state. So when we hear about God talking about man, unless the context is saying, talking about a fallen state, he's talking about us in our original intent, the way he designed Adam. And the original intent that we now are in as we are in Christ. This is why I don't say things like a sinner saved by grace. That used to be the thing, but revelation has progressed. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. Because I'm in Christ, I'm not a sinner. I'm an heir of God, a joint heir of Christ. And so when God speaks to me about his people, it's about our original intent, our divine design, us exercising dominion like he commanded Adam, us walking with the Father like Jesus modeled, and us being like Jesus. Because we were redeemed to be like him. And I was teaching a group the other day about how our five senses are made to engage God. There is no such thing as a sixth sense. That's fiction. And that's a natural way of trying to describe understanding something that of a spiritual nature. They say, oh, that's a sixth sense. Could you recognize something spiritual was happening? No. As a believer, all of your senses were made to operate in a dual place of the supernatural of God and the world. And because of that, we can connect with God with our ears. We can hear him speak. We can have a vision and see what he's showing us, not just perceive in our heart. We could even smell the fragrance of his presence. And we can taste and see that the Lord is good. Because people think that's figurative, but it actual is literal as well. This is how prophetically sometimes you can smell something and be like, I smell this. When we understand that, we can understand, we can be more sensitive to the presence of Holy Spirit. And when we're more sensitive to the presence of Holy Spirit, we can receive what he is purposing to give us and say to us in that moment. Because the more sensitive we are to him, the more we know his voice. And we don't have to worry about the voice of a stranger. Last week, I did an Instagram live and just encouraged believers and told them, you cannot be deceived. Because a lot of people quote the scripture in Matthew 24 saying, well, it says that the very elect will be deceived. It doesn't say that. Matthew 24 and 24 says, if possible, though missing or reading over those two words can make the difference between how a person walks out their relationship with God. So you have to know that it's not possible for you to be deceived because you listen to the Holy Spirit. And the more you listen to him, you'll know who's talking from him and by him and through him. That's why people can't prophesy from their soul to me, because I know when the Holy Spirit's talking, because I don't depend on his voice through a person. I hear his voice myself. And when they prophesy from their soul, I know, oh, that ain't you, because I know your voice. I know when you're talking. And that's why I don't chase prophets, because I chase the one who gives the prophecy. And that's why I walk with prophets and not afraid about their stature, because we're all hearing the same Holy Spirit. While I respect generals of the faith and everything like that, I don't see myself, and I posture myself to learn, but I don't see myself as less than, because it's the same Holy Spirit speaking to them that's speaking to me. And so I'm sharing this because as we are in this season of halftime adjustment, especially during this calendar month, some of the things that God spoke about May is still continuing this month. Because one of the things that God said is that it was a time of wisdom and revelation. He said those who receive revelation will have a greater distinction in how they operate and function than those who don't. And when he gave me that prophetic word back for May, and I released it on the live, the one thing God reminded me of this week is the fact that he said those. So he wasn't distinguishing between believer and unbeliever. Even believers, there would be a distinction, even in his body, between those who walk in revelation and those who don't. And so we have the opportunity to walk in greater levels of revelation and have a greater distinction upon our lives as we fulfill purposes and destiny. Because revelation has to be responded to. It's always an invitation to think, walk, and operate at a higher level, and it has to be responded to. And if we choose not to respond to it, Jesus will love us, and he'll deal with us right where we are, but those who respond, they'll continue to go from glory to glory and faith to faith. And what often happens is those who don't respond then become critical and judgmental of those who do. And this is why in the body of Christ, and I spoke this as well, we have to stop the distraction of division, of people trying to build platforms by criticizing others because somebody's walking in a degree they're not. That's a distraction in a smokescreen. And so during this time, it's a time of greater intimacy with Holy Spirit. Say intimacy. It's a time of greater clarity from God, not just about our purposes and destiny, but about his plan for the body of Christ. Because remember, what we are seeking God for us personally has an impact and is a part of his corporate and global plan in the earth. So what you do daily, you think it's just me, my community, my job, my family. But what you are doing is playing an integral part of God's global plan. Say global. Global. Because whoever you impact is impacting somebody else. And especially with the advancements of technology, what you put online is impacting somebody else. This is also a time I've been talking about revelation. Revelation talks about something that is revealed. Something that was hidden, but is revealed. And we have to recognize that what was hidden was not hidden from us, it was hidden for us. Mark 4, verse 22 says this, "For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Anything that has been hidden by God, hidden in God, was only hidden to be revealed." So everything concerning your life that we're all getting seeking answers to, because I'm like Jesus, like Apostle was saying Wednesday, I need answers today, not next week, not 30 days from now, today. That answer was hidden in God for us for this moment to be revealed in this moment. Because yes, yes, he said, for nothing is hidden except to be revealed. The only reason why it was hidden for us was so it could be revealed to us. Then he says, nor has anything been secret, but that it will come to light. So we know the scripture says the secret thing belongs to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, right? Then in another place, in Amos 3, he says that he doesn't do anything without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now keep in mind, the prophecy of Joel was fulfilled in Acts 1 and chapter 2. So Holy Spirit is poured out upon all flesh, and it says, and they shall prophesy. So you don't have to be a prophet to operate in the prophetic, right? So that means because we operate in the prophetic, he won't do anything without revealing his secret to us. Now, I'm not diminishing prophets, but I'm saying what you have the capacity to do. Because one of the primary functions of prophets, and you hear me say this a lot, is to help believers operate in the prophetic, not to do all the prophesying. That was Old Testament. Before Holy Spirit was poured out, the prophets were the one prophesying. And even when Moses had to get the elders to come, and God said, I would take of my spirit that's upon you and put upon them. When that happened, they start prophesying. And Joshua was like, Moses, everybody around here prophesying. And Moses was like, I want all God's people to be prophets. That desire was prophesied in Joel, which was the beginning of the fulfillment of it happened in the book of Acts, which we are living out. Now, I'm not saying everybody's called to an office of a prophet, don't take the wrong clip and put that on YouTube, be clipping me talking about Jamal exposed. No, Jamal is revealing, and I'm very confident in the revelation I give, because I sit with Jesus. I don't interpret the word, and this is where God is inviting us to, because I was watching a documentary, and I got grieved in my spirit, and I could only watch one episode of the documentary because I could see the slant they were coming at. And they had theologians trying to interpret a scripture, and they were talking about the cultural context of how it was written, which is good to understand that. But then when he continued to talk, he was talking about interpreting scripture, and it was purely academic. See, interpretation can breed religion. Revelation breeds freedom and walking with Holy Spirit. Because we can't interpret the scripture academically only. We can look at the cultural background of when something was written to help give more information and context to why God said it. But we have to allow God to speak to us to say, you said this in that context. What are you saying now through this scripture? Because if we interpret what God is saying upon our previous experience, then the previous experience will be the limitation to what we can experience in our present as well as our future. We must receive revelation from God with a posture of openness, since God is unlimited and he can do beyond what we have previously experienced or even heard before. That's how the Pharisees missed Jesus, because they were interpreting scripture based upon their experience and from a purely academic standpoint. And Jesus said, you search the scripture, but they testify of me. How did they miss it? So we have to be okay with hearing where or what Holy Spirit is saying. Oh, no, where the Holy Spirit is saying, there must be a course correction. Y'all, I'm trying to read my own notes that Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I'm like, Jesus, that's why I'm glad voice to text capture it every now and then. It say a word you didn't say. You'd be like, it's like you ask Siri something and it answered the wrong question. One day I was driving and I was like, hey, Siri, call Val. It was like calling Belle. And I'm like, who is that? And then it started trying to call all these different people. Then I had to say, call wife Val. And then it finally called. Boy, I had to get real passionate about that thing to make it make a phone call. I was like, Siri, you fired. I'm going to get ChatGPT to start doing my stuff. So we have to be okay with hearing where Holy Spirit is saying there may be a course correction to what we've previously heard him say. And we have to settle the fact that what we previously heard Holy Spirit say was to get us to this point where we can hear the next step. Because sometimes we will struggle and wrestle with what God is saying in the moment because we heard him say something previously that seems almost opposite of what he's saying now. And he'd be like, Jesus, I know you ain't schizophrenic, so what's up? Did I mishear you? Did I miss you? What's going on? But could it be that you didn't miss God? Could it be he had you go that route to get you to the point where you could hear him speak the next thing? He did that with Abraham. He told Abraham, go sacrifice Isaac. And then when he got there, he said, don't lay a hand on the child. But knowing the voice of the Lord helps us to know how to flow with his river and not subconsciously resist. Because we can subconsciously resist what God is saying because we are expecting his word to come about a certain way. We could subconsciously resist what God is doing because we want it to look a certain way. And I'll say this. We must also not limit what God is revealing to one specific area. We have to ask Holy Spirit, which areas does what he reveals to us apply? Because too often, we as the body assume Holy Spirit is speaking about one area, but don't recognize that what he said is addressing multiple areas. So he could speak about something in one area of our lives, and we can be like, I receive it, I'm making the adjustment, and then not realize, wait a minute, he's not just talking about this area, he's talking about that area too. But if we limit to the one area, then the other area doesn't get adjusted. You guys understand what I'm saying? So it's like when Holy Spirit is speaking to me, I've learned to say, where does all of this apply? Because I'm not going to assume you're just speaking to me about one thing in my life. Because you care about total shalom. You care about every area. So then, God starts talking to me about the dynamic of a halftime in the Super Bowl specifically. So I was like, Jesus, what else are you saying about this halftime adjustment? We know it's a time of alignment, getting back to certain things, getting back to their original intent. It's a time of revelation. Nothing is hidden except to be revealed. So during the halftime at the Super Bowl, you got a lot of stuff going on. And I don't get to watch football as much as I want to, but I definitely always catch the Super Bowl. I remember one year I got a subscription to Peacock just so I could watch the Super Bowl and then, you know, then cancel it afterwards. It's like, look, they don't have nothing on here I want to watch. So, but during the Super Bowl, there's a lot of hype, a lot of fanfare. Now, a lot of people watch it for the commercials because, you know, during Super Bowl, the businesses are going to put out their best commercials. They're going to pay the highest investment to get that commercial in front of everybody, right? And those commercials are going to have images, words, and sounds to persuade us to take an action. And then you got a performance. They're going to get a big name performer, regardless of the genre, because, you know, they try to get a variety. But they're going to get somebody that they know will cause people to want to watch. So at halftime, you have these commercials. Then you have this performer on stage with this whole production, with the music, the lights, the dancing, the and all of that stuff. And then you have commentators analyzing the first half of the game based on what they have learned and experienced, based on what they think, and they're saying what they think should happen in the second half, even though they're not on the field playing. And the only way they know the people who are playing is based upon data and stats. And data will give you a past, but it doesn't tell you the present or the future. So they're analyzing based on the past of what they saw, based on their knowledge and experience of what they saw. So you got these different dynamics going on during the halftime. And then you have the coach with the team in the locker room. And the coach is speaking to the team based upon his intimate experience with them, because he spends time with them. He knows their skill set. He knows what they can do. He knows what they have done, but also the potential that they have of what they can do. Now, during this halftime, all of that same noise is going on. Say noise. There are images, sounds, and things released to try to persuade us to take an action, to try to persuade us to go a certain direction. There's performers, there are influencers with all of their stuff trying to tell us to do a thing. There are people in influential positions saying, this is the thing you should be doing, this is the way you should be going. There are people even who will come into our lives commentating based upon their experience and based their knowledge and based on what they've seen us do in the past to try to tell us what we should and shouldn't be doing right now. See, if I were you, what I would do was, we all have that cousin who would come and say, if I were you, you know what I would do was, or what you should do is, and you'd be like, bruh, I didn't even ask you that. All I said was, how you doing? And you're going to tell me, well, what you should be doing. Like, you ain't even answered the question. And so during this time of intimacy, we have to tune out all of the noise, say noise, and hear the voice of the coach, who is Holy Spirit, and discern when he is speaking through someone and when he's not. Because Holy Spirit is the one who equipped us and gave us the gifting that's in us, and he is the one who laid out our calling in the first place. He's seen what we have done. He knows what we can do, and if you really want to go deep, he's seen what we will do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
So when we follow the instructions that he gives us in the locker room during halftime, he already knows what we will do. So he's just telling us what he already knows we're going to do. We just didn't know what we were going to do. And I say that again slower. He's telling us what to do, that he already knows in his sovereignty what we will do. But we don't know what we will do. So he reveals to us the steps that are already laid out for us to take, because Holy Spirit is already in our future and has already seen us take those steps. We're dealing with a supernatural God, and we can't approach God like he's a person, like he's caught off guard by what happens, like he has to adjust his plan. God doesn't have to adjust. We are adjusting. And then in a locker room, there's strategy. And a lot of times, the strategy look like X and the O's on the whiteboard. Be like, okay, and lines. Okay, then when you see these O's like this, we're going to have the X's line up like this, and then this one's going to go here. So God is going to reveal to you the O's that are trying to oppose your forward movement, and he's going to give you he's going to map out and draw the arrow of the path for you to follow to go around the opposition to stay in your place of victory in this season. Amen. Glory to God. Because he said this in Mark 4 as well. He said, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And then he said to them, well, let me pause right there. Because he said that, let's back up to verse 22. He said that, nor has anything been secret, but that it will come to light. So God not only is revealing his secret, and when he uses us prophetically, he reveals people's secret for us to speak to the secrets of their heart. But he's also revealing secret and hidden agendas. Because he said that, nor has anything been secret, but that it will come to light. So even the things that would try to stop you as you make adjustments, God is going to reveal that too. Now, some of those things could be things in our own soul. Some of it could be people working in cooperation with opposition. It's going to be revealed to you. So as God is revealing strategy, he's also exposing some stuff. And that exposure is for you to be able to adjust and adapt how you are approaching so you can continue to walk in victory. Instead of getting to this place where you got to ask God for victory, he's already given us victory in advance, so he's going to give you strategy to continue to walk it out. Say amen to that. And then he says this, because I find it very interesting that he would talk about what's being revealed right after he talks about the parable of the sower. I'm like, Jesus, because he's intentional with his conversations. He talks about the parable of the sower. He talked to the masses in a parable, but then tells the disciples, it's given to us. To us has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those outside, they hear it in parables. And then he talks about, the different type of hearers, and then talks about revelation. And after he talks about revelation, he makes this statement in verse 24 of Mark 4. It says, and he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. Now, a lot of times, we think about the type of music we listen to, the type of movies we watch, because of our eyes and ears are gates to the soul. Scripture says your eyes are the windows to your soul. Some people use the term gates. Because we know those things get into our soul and into our spirit, man. But then he says this. I was looking at that, and Holy Spirit told me it's deeper than music and movies. He says, take care of what you listen. During halftime, if we get focused on the commercials and start listening to that, we won't be able to incline our ear to his voice. If we start listening to the performer during the halftime show, and listen to that, we won't be focused. See, during the Super Bowl, the team is not out there watching, you know, Dre and Snoop and them do the halftime show. The audience watched that. The team wasn't watching 50 Cent come down like he was Spider-Man. I was like, why they had that dude come down upside down? I was like, they could have did 50 better than that. He gonna get saved too. God is drawing him. God is drawing all of them. That's why I'm judging. Because it's only going to be a minute before you see them talking about Jesus. Snoop already talking about Jesus. And unfortunately, people tried to come up, you know, hit him hard because he's still a baby, even though he was raised in church. And they start talking about, oh, you just making a gospel album just to take advantage of the Christian dollar. And chill. He made a whole project glorifying God. He wasn't trying to just get sales. When you hear him, you can hear his heart. But then that spirit of judgment pushed him to make him think, well, I don't want to hang with y'all. Y'all too critical. Which is why we have to allow God to speak. And when we know God's voice, we won't worry about somebody trying to deceive us and take advantage of the body of Christ. Because we'll be able to hear the voice of God in their voice. So, the players in the locker room are not listening to the halftime show. They probably have to watch it on replay. They're not listening even to the commentators. They're not listening to the commercials. Who are they listening to? Say it again. They're listening to the coach. So during this season, who are we to listen to? We can't be distracted by the performances, by all the stuff that's going on out there, by the smoke screen. Because did you know, on the, there came up in my news feed on a particular social platform, this news agency is now reporting that the government has 12 alien spaceships and didn't tell nobody. And I'm sitting here like, that's a distraction. And they're interviewing people, and I'm like, noise that's out there to distract from the reset and the adjustment. So he says, take care of what you listen to, and then check out this last part. I'm gonna stop in a minute, but let's check out this last part. It says, am I doing good, Edie? Thank you. You gave me the thumbs up. I'm cool. It says, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more be given you besides. A lot of times we read that, and we often confuse it with Luke 4, when he said, give, and it should be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. By your standard of measure you use when you give, it will be measured to give back to you. Well, in Luke 4, Jesus said that he was telling them that principle applies to giving, among other things. But notice Jesus said it in the context of talking about revelation and things being revealed. So the measure, the standard of measure that we incline our ear to hear revelation during this halftime adjustment is the same measure that we will receive revelation during this time of adjustment. So we have to give ourselves wholly to hearing the Lord about every area of our lives so that we can receive and hear his voice speak and reveal wholly to us in every area of our lives. We don't want to go into the locker room with Jesus, hear the strategy, but come out only knowing half the plays because we didn't give ourselves wholly to the process. You guys understand? Because it's that standard of measure. That's why I was like, Jesus, I thank you. I have the ears to hear. You should say that. Say that. I want to say it for you, but I want to invite you to say it yourself right now. Just say it. Just say it. And I declare over you that you have the ears to hear God. And one of the things I've been experiencing is that God has been talking to me slightly differently than he used to. And he spoke to me on Tuesday. He said, we have to adjust how my people have to adjust how they pray. And I'm like, yeah. And then Pastor Deborah was all taking notes when I was in the throne with Jesus. She gets up Wednesday and says, we have to adjust how we pray. And I'm like, okay, God, confirmation. Because too often we can even depend on how we used to hear God versus just being open to hearing him. And then we could try to get tense and force ourselves to hear God. Be like, I need an answer, I need an answer, I need an answer, I need an answer. Speak, Lord, speak, Lord, speak, Lord, speak, Lord. Have you ever felt that, been that? Because I've been there. I've been there. I've been like, Jesus, I need you to speak. 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 Tell me about my business, Jesus. Tell me about Aaron's business, Jesus. Tell me about the embassy, Jesus. Tell me about... So tense. I remember during the month of October, I took like, I think it might have been a week or two off of my business to just really get clarity about it. And a lot of my friends kept things going, like Pastor Deborah did a live for me, and a bunch of my friends did my lives for me, so I didn't have to do nothing. And I remember I was like so intense trying to hear the Lord. I'm shutting in, and I'm and doing all of that. And I was just trying to hear, get answers. Because I'm like, Jesus, you promised me this would be my net worth. You promised me a steady flow of clients, and I'm not seeing the number of clients I want to see. And then it was like day two. Val come up to me talking about, you're too tense. It's only the second day, and you talking about, I didn't hear nothing from Jesus. And she was like, it's only day two. Chill out. And I was like, don't tell me to chill out. You don't understand the weight of what I'm carrying. You don't understand my calling. You know how we get. And then I had to go sit down. You know, Val just kind of laughed at me. I went and sat down. And guess who else was laughing? Jesus. He's like, dude, chill out. Sometimes when we're trying to hear an answer, we strain and we push when we have to just relax and receive. And so I want to encourage you in this moment to rest, relax, and receive. God knows the question you have. He knows the direction you need and the direction you want. Because sometimes the direction you want ain't the direction you need, but that's a whole different class. But he knows all of those scenarios, and do you think he's not talking? Holy Spirit is always speaking. He loves to talk to us. The scripture says the voice of the Lord was walking in the garden and was like, Adam, where are you? So, relax. Somebody say relax. Because you will receive answer during this time as you give yourself. But you can't try to force an answer. You have to receive an answer. Because I have learned the harder I try to hear God, the harder it is to hear God. The more I just relax and just walk with him, the easier it is to hear him talk about everything. Even stuff that are as so minute as don't take your dog to the store. And sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves. That's why when the Bible talks about the different kind of hearers, we are all, and I declare that your hearts are good ground to receive the word. So if you ever had a question about it, let me resolve that. Your heart is good ground for the word. Your heart is good ground to receive revelation. Now, when it talks about the different type of hearers, you got to understand that those are the ways that the enemy tries to come to move your heart from being good ground. He would try to give you trials or cares of life. And if you listen to those cares of life, then they will choke the word. He would try to make persecution arise as a result of the word. And if you allow yourself to not be rooted, then it will choke the word. See, those things, when you look at it, and what the Lord had me do is he had me read it almost backwards. He had me read it from the passage talking about the good ground, then start backing it up. I was like, wait a minute. My heart is already good ground because of Holy Spirit. And so I don't have to worry about being these type of hearers. I have to watch for these things coming to try to change the posture of my heart.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And if my heart posture changes, and then it's no longer, it gets contaminated, and then those things happen. They choke the word, or it doesn't bear fruit. It becomes unfruitful, or it gets stolen. See, Satan can't steal a word from you when you keep your heart posture. So I'm going to end here because my timer went off, and I think I went like 5 minutes over. I'm going to give you 3 strategies during this time with the Lord to get the most out of halftime adjustments. Number one, ask specific questions and receive specific answers and eliminate assumptions. The scripture says we have not because we ask not. Ask, and then in Zechariah 10 and 1, it says, ask for rain from the Lord at the time of spring rain. It's like, why would I have to ask for rain when it's the time of rain? Meaning that you could be in a season for a thing, but you have to ask for that thing to receive from what that season is about. So ask specific questions and then receive specific answers. And eliminate any assumptions. Don't assume what the Lord is talking about. Let him tell you what he's talking about. Amen. The second one, which we've been kind of talking about this entire time, posture yourself to hear. Keep the heart posture to hear the Lord and to receive revelation from God. So he can continue to take you from one level to the next, one level of faith to the next, one level of glory to the next, because it's an invitation. And you keep yourself inclined to hear, to accept the invitation, which leads to number 3. You got to respond to what you hear. Not responding to revelation is actually responding to revelation in a negative way. Not saying yes to Jesus is actually saying no to Jesus. There is no maybe. That's why Jesus told the one church in the book of Revelations that John had to write to. He said, you got to either be hot or cold, not lukewarm. Either it's a yes or a no. And so once we respond appropriately to revelation that he's giving us during this time. And let me pause right here, because I hear Holy Spirit saying that some of you watching or in this room have to be open to hearing him speak about a thing that you are not trying to talk about. Because sometimes you want to talk about something to Jesus, and he don't want to talk to you about that in that moment. He want to talk about something else. So be free to allow God to talk to you about whatever he wants to talk about to you and with you in that moment. You might be asking him about your finances, and he might be telling you about your uncle. You're like, Jesus, what that got to do with him? Whatever he's talking about, let that be the conversation, because Jesus is Lord. Not just when we sing it, but also in our intimate time, he's Lord. So once you respond, swiftly and strategically obey. We are not in a season to box at the air and just do stuff. And just have a bunch of activity. We have to be strategic and intentional in our movements. Keep in step with Holy Spirit. Don't go ahead of him out of zeal and passion, but don't be behind him out of slothfulness. There is a flow to the movement of God, and we have to stay exactly with him, because sometimes we get so excited about a word, we'll run out and start doing that thing, and then because you've heard us teach, it's a yes until it's no. And sometimes people get that yes, and then they got the earmuffs on and don't hear the no. They're just going. God doesn't want us to do that. And he doesn't want us to be at the other extreme where we need 1,000 yeses like Gideon before we move. Talking about, well, I'm praying about it. I'm trying to get strategy from the Lord. Well, did he tell you one thing? As you do that, you're going to hear him say the next thing. So we have to swiftly obey, but it has to be strategic. Galatians 5 and 16 says this. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now, we know after that, he started describing the works of the flesh. But also, when we walk by, in some translations, the King James will say in, when we walk by and in Holy Spirit, we won't carry out the plan of God according to our own desire. Y'all feeling me? Thank you, Lord. I'm going to stop there. Y'all receive this word.